Well, here we are, Smith and Roland Unplugged podcast. We're going to be doing our future podcast, totally unplugged. That means there won't be much edit. There will not be any editing or anything. But we'll just be doing our own podcast, and I'm waiting on Jeff to connect.
You there? Are you there? Are you there?
There you are. We're already running live, Rowan. I told everybody.
Okay.
We're running unplugged raw.
Unplugged raw.
Raw.
And let me just say that the listeners have come into a room where truth and truth alone reigns. So I now give to you the arbitrator of all truth.
Yes.
Mr. Allen
Yes. Yes. Winders shut right there.
Winders shut.
Winders
shut. It's over. That's right.
Mr. Rowland.
Yes.
We're doing going to do some unplugged, but we're going to do it raw. That means there's no editing. There's no, sometimes you might even be going down the road and you might break out for a minute and then I'll cover for you and I'll tell people how good you are. You don't have to worry about anything.
And I'm asking folks not to listen to him when I'm not
and
available.
So you all just wait till you get back online.
That's right.
But nonetheless,
my son-in-law Chad is hideous. He is complete
that's terrible.
Hideousness.
Chad. He just hadn't taken his medicine this morning. He'll be all right. Okay, Mr. Rowland, we got us a little something to talk about here today.
Yeah, we do.
And it's Donald Trump. Some call him President Donald Trump. Some call him Mr. Donald Trump. And some of them call him other names that I will not go into. But the title of this article, it's on the stream by, Dr. Michael Brown. We use his stuff a lot. We kind of, some days we love him, some days we're not sure. We do like him a lot. But the title of this article that Dr. Brown wrote is Why Donald Trump is So Hated. That's a scary thing to say, but I think that is true. I mean, I've actually talked with some people that they'll get so upset about they start shaking. I don't know if they're gonna cry or hit me. I'm not sure which it is, but nonetheless, the article starts off, there's no neutrality when it comes to Donald Trump. On the contrary, he is arguably the most polarized figure in America, if not the world. And at the mention of his name, tempers automatically rise. To his loyal supporters, he is a courageous hero of superhuman proportions. To his detractors, he is the incarnation of evil itself in an exaggerated form. Okay, there you got it. Winder's open. What do you say?
Winder's open for business. And I will say that you don't have to look around long to find those that hate Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to say this. It appears to me, and it's just by observation, though Donald Trump has some supporters that are radical for Trump and Trump only, they wouldn't even be voting if Donald Trump wasn't running. I believe that. However, the hatred of Donald Trump outweighs the support of Donald Trump if you're measuring it by degrees. I'm saying that those that hate him worse than those that love him can love him. Yeah. And I do believe that. That becomes obvious. And it's not just in one community. It's across the board. In other words, you can turn on the left-wing media, which is about all of the media, and you find hatred for Donald Trump. You can go into the Republican parts of the world, and there's some Republicans that hate Donald Trump.
That's right.
His own vice president, when he was in office, has said he's not voting for Donald Trump. Then you go into the church, and you've got people in the church that hate and despise Donald Trump. So it's across the board. It's a bipartisan hatred for Donald Trump. And it does beg the question, what is creating this hatred for this man?
Right. Well, it goes on to say here, In this article, the first and most obvious reasons is that Trump has been, at various times, nasty, cruel, crude, and his detractors are responding in kind, giving him some of his own medicine. This should come as no surprise, even to his most dedicated followers. He punches his opponents in the face, metaphorically speaking, and they punch back. Would a more fitting metaphor be that he hits below the belt and the gloves are off? Well, that's a good question. He goes on to say, though, and to cite this next point of discussion here, Mr. Rowland. Second, Trump was hardly seen as a model Christian virtue and humility in his pre-presidential days. Instead, he was known as a proud womanizer, a man who made money on strip club casinos, not to mention being married three times. He came across like a narcissist. Yeah. That's why his critics would have wondered aloud at the widespread support Trump has received from Christian conservatives, in particular, evangelicals. Mm-hmm. What's your two cents on that one, Mr. Rowland?
Okay,
I think there's go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just gonna say this. I do take issue with what Michael Brown is saying when he says, okay, Donald Trump is nasty, vicious, and all of these things, and we shouldn't be surprised when they come back in like manner. Okay, but it's deeper than that, and it's worse than that. Not one time during the presidency of Donald Trump did he pursue putting Hillary Clinton in jail. Not one time did he pursue trying to persecute Barack Obama. Not one time did he pursue trying to, through legal action, destroy Joe Biden in courts of law like has been done to him. What I'm saying is they're not returning in like fashion. They're returning in worse fashion than what they're accusing Donald Trump of. I'll agree that some of the tweets that Donald Trump has put out and some of the name calling and some of that stuff, maybe it is not befitting of a president to talk in such manner. Maybe that's true. We've never had a president to do it like that before, I will say that, or anybody that's run for president. But we've had people that's done a lot worse. And what's being done to Donald Trump right now is a lot worse, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah,
so
I think it makes a lot of sense.
I take issue with what he said when it's like a tit-for-tat thing. This is not a tit-for-tat thing. It's a whole lot worse than that. Now, to the point that Michael Brown is making about, okay, Donald Trump was a womanizer, all these things before he was a president, I would say if you check into those presidents we've had in the past, all of them have been that way. Donald Trump may have been more open and transparent with his misbehavior, but we learn that has happened with just about every president that we've ever had. And the biggest reason is because they have this thing that's called human nature. And if it's mm-hmm. left undisciplined by God, then sin's gonna find you out. And so I'm not denying the fact that Donald Trump has lived a life on both sides of the aisle. And there's times that he speaks out of both sides of his mouth even. But I'll say he doesn't do it in to the degree and the likeness that I've seen in other presidents that we've had, if that makes
mm-hmm.
any sense.
Exactly. Well, the next paragraph says those of us who did vote for him would have a ready response to our knowledge. His immoral days were in his past. But either way, we are now in an extinguishable fight for our nation's survival. And without question, Trump was and is a better choice than Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
To say this, though, is to miss the point of this article, which has to do with why Trump is so hated. Instead, those of us who support him need to put ourselves in the shoes of ideological opponents asking this question. If Donald Trump was a far-left Democrat running against a God-fearing, high-moral Republican, how would we feel about him? Well, I think that's easy to say. I mean, those that are voting for Trump, I mean, I'm not in love with Trump by no means. And I'll just be honest with you, I like Robert Kennedy pretty good.
Right, right.
I think he has probably a greater understanding of the issues. I'm not sure what that means, because you still got to decide which way you're going on the issues. But nonetheless, I like Robert, what I hear from him a whole lot, just to be very honest with you. And the very fact that the left has tried to shut him down, just like Donald Trump, tells you something.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're not just going after Trump. They're going after Kennedy, too.
Yeah, they're going after Kennedy. It just doesn't take quite as much effort, because he's not quite as strong as Trump. But they're going after him to take him out just the same.
Yeah.
Just the same. They want to take him out. And then the Democrats didn't have no sense to know the only way they could win something without altering votes or something was to be able to run a Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
If they would have put him on in there and let him do his thing and be an older type Democrat, I'd call it. I think we would see a different world today. Yeah, I'd love to see one that Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy would have run against each other. I'd love to see that day.
Yes, absolutely.
And because he has, but with Joe and Hillary, I mean, my land.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. And see, I agree totally with the way Michael Brown framed that, Alan. He's basically saying this, you've got Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Now, period on that. Winder is shut on that deal. You got Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. To bring up a hypothetical, okay, well, what if we had somebody that lived a clean moral life, was a good man, a conservative on all the issues, and he was running against Donald Trump? Yeah, give me somebody better and I'll vote for him. But we don't have that in reality. You know, that's a hypothetical. So you can't say, and I think that's what Michael Brown is saying, that is this the lesser of two evils? It may be, and everybody may be nauseated at that. Well, the truth of the matter is, the way that the political system is so corrupted now by money and by power, that's why we don't have more people that says, hey, yeah, I'll run. You know, you don't have that. So what we have is Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. And those are the choices, and Robert Kennedy. And now I'm going to say this, in every poll that you find, Robert Kennedy is taken, they say now by the polls, he's taken just as many votes away from Donald Trump as he is Joe Biden. So that means that people on both sides are supporting Robert Kennedy.
Right. Right.
And I'll also say that the Democrats have declared war on Kennedy at a higher level than the Republicans have. So now maybe their strategy behind that, maybe they're thinking that in the end, he's going to take more votes away from Biden. Maybe so. I don't know. We don't know. But here's something that I think is highly suspect and undemocratic, is Robert Kennedy is having a hard time just getting his name on the ballot in a lot of states. To me, that's undemocratic. Some would say we now live in a banana republic because of that. But I would say that the way Michael Brown is framing and constructing this issue needs to speak largely to the church, because the church is saying, well, I can't vote for Donald Trump because he was a womanizer. Okay, that may be true. But Joe Biden's a murderer. He wants to kill babies.
That's right.
So, I mean, the thing, I think we've got to at some point.
Not want to, does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So we've got to, at some point, we've got to say, all right, this guy may not be the perfect Christian, but if he stands for more of what's right than the other guy does, that's the way we need to vote.
Yeah, I agree. I totally, totally, totally agree.
Yeah.
I don't see that you have any choice. Though there are many Christians that would disagree with us.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Let me tell you, I agree with you. Oh, matter of fact, That's why we have Joe Biden now, is because many Christians did disagree with us. And that's why we've got Joe Biden in office right now. And I'm going to tell you, we're not better off now than we was when Donald Trump was in office.
No way.
The world's on fire. We put Joe Biden in, the world's on fire. The economy's about to explode and the nation's crumbling. And we're further disintegrating into debauchery on every level. And you can say, well, that ain't because Joe Biden's president all you want to. The only thing I know is all of it started on a downward spiral when he took office.
And that cannot be denied.
That can't be denied. So, I mean, insanity's doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. And Christians, just if they got a problem, deep problem with hating Donald Trump, hold your nose and vote for him. Because our nation's survival is at stake. I do believe that part what Michael Brown said in that article. I believe that.
Well, I think that's pretty evident. I really do.
Yeah, buddy. I do too.
He goes on to say, third, that Trump is deeply hated because his opponents believe the very worst things about him, in particular, the allegations peddled by major media outlets. To them, he is not just a bad person. He is a danger. A real danger. The devil has nothing on him. If elected, they say he will strike down the rule of democracy. He will empower the most foul and violent elements of society. He will remove the rule of law. He will destroy the world. During his presidency, a childhood friend of mine unfriended me on Facebook simply because I voted for Trump. And while never excusing his foul behavior, I defended him when he was falsely accused. How could I possibly do this? Brown says. My friend asked me this. He was outraged. I only realized later that the Trump my friend opposed was an extreme caricature of the real man. Far more demonic, far more treacherous. No wonder he had no tolerance for my views. I was kissing up to Hitler, according to him.
Alan, when you started reading that, it's ironic to me that the things that the left is afraid of about Donald Trump are the very things they're guilty of doing. They have destroyed the rule of law. That's why the crime rate has skyrocketed, and you're about taking your life in your own hands to go into a major city. We have allowed now so many to cross our border, we don't even know who's in our country. And just this past weekend, there was FBI warnings given in some areas of the country to churches about terrorist attacks that was being planned. Some were thwarted, and some were even arrested over it. So what I'm saying is everything that they say they're fearful of concerning Donald Trump is what they're guilty of under this administration. Don't you think that at some point we got to say we're responsible for this? If you have fair elections, and I can't say that enough, if you have fair elections, we're responsible for who goes in and governs this country.
Yeah. Totally. Totally, totally, Mr. Rowland. I was reading ahead there just a little bit, and he's got a quote here, hypocrite in chief. Whether Trump is truly Christian or even reads the Bible is not the issue. It is that he has surrounded himself with Christian conservatives, some of whom are quite bold about their faith, and therefore they are hated as he. Meanwhile, evangelical Christians are perceived as power-hungry hypocrites, willing to go to any lengths to have a seat at the White House table. Mm-hmm. Trump then is perceived to be the chief hypocrite, a fitting leader for misguided-minded leaders. Christian leaders. That's why it's so important that if we do choose to vote for Trump, as I have said time and again, we make that secondary matter, lest we tarnish the name of the Savior we love. In other words, to the extent that we preach Trump rather than just vote for Trump, we defile our witness. So let's preach Jesus and model our lives after him, and then make sure to go vote. Dr. Michael Brown.
I don't have a problem at all with anything he said there. I in that last paragraph, I don't have a problem at all with it. The only thing that I would say, and I point back, and I'm going to be doing some preaching on this in the coming weeks. I point back to a comment a quote from William Booth, who said that he feared that in the 19th century, he said this in the 1800s, and he said, I fear that in the 1900s, we would pass down a politics that is without God. And every time that the Christian voice pulls back in the political arena, that's exactly what we're handing to them. We're giving them a politics that's without God. So, yeah, I would not just say go vote. I would say go vote right.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah, that was a right famous, quote that he had, William Booth did. That was a very famous quote. Actually, I was just trying to look it up right quickly. To read it, because that is an incredible quote. You might know, I'm not finding it. Here it is, I think. He said, the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, for repentance without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. That was just incredible. Okay, yes, Mr. Yes. Rowland.
All
we
right,
have
Mr. Smith.
We about spent our dime here this morning.
Yeah.
So where
one
does that
closing
leave you?
Thought.
Are you going to vote?
Yeah, one closing thought is, the problem with the rest of the world is my son-in-law's fault. His name is Chad. I would ask that everybody
you're terrible.
Think about that. Yep.
You're terrible. You're just terrible. You are a terrible father-in-law. That's exactly what you are. You're a terrible father-in-law. And Wendershed on that one.
And Wendershed. That's right.
All right, Roland. Talk to you in the morning.
Oh, you know, sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.